Dolphins Monday opening drive is on the air. Sunday has come and gone, but our Fins coverage is still full gear. We'll bring you live coverage of Coach Philbin's Monday press conference, plus a complete breakdown of yesterday's game. It's Dolphins Monday opening drive right now.
Welcome to Dolphins Monday opening drive. It is the season finale of Dolphins Monday opening drive. Jesse Agler with former Dolphins Troy Stratford and OJ McDuffie. We will look back at a painful, painful end to the 2013 season. Yesterday at Sun Life Stadium, the Dolphins dropped their second consecutive game, 20-7, to the New York Jets. Miami finishes 8-8, third place in the AFC East behind New England and the Jets. Dolphins only on top of Buffalo in the AFC East's final standings this year. We'll be with you for the next hour. We will bring you live coverage in its entirety of Joe Philbin's final press conference of the 2013 season. You can certainly expect the media to ask him not just about yesterday's game, but also about big picture issues that this team is facing right now. And obviously there's a list of big picture issues, as there is for any team at this point in their season. When you are done, it's kind of time to start looking at the big picture. And Joe Philbin's philosophy, as is most head coaches, I think, in the National Football League, is a game at a time, a week at a time, go 1-0. That's what they're always saying around here. And unfortunately for the Dolphins, there's no game to look forward to right now. And so you got to zoom out a little bit, take a look at the big picture, and start to address some of the things that are the reasons why the Dolphins are not getting ready for a game this week. We'll take some text message questions from you guys over the next hour, 347-347 if you want to text. Also try and work in a couple of phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS. Yesterday was not one of those days, Troy and OJ, where Ryan Tannehill was sacked 5, 6, 7 times. It was not one of those days where they couldn't get any production out of the running game. It was not one of those days where the defense couldn't at least control at times what the other team was trying to do. And OJ, that's what kind of makes this one so weird and tough to digest. It was just an all-around kind of effort.
Exactly. That's
from the Miami Dolphins.
That's exactly what it was, Jesse. It was like, you know, they were there for the game and body, but it seemed like in mind and in spirit, you know, in emotion, it didn't seem like a team that was fighting for their playoff lives. And that's what's more disturbing than anything, I think. Knowing the magnitude of that game, you know, being down on the field there at the beginning, you know, watching warm-ups and for the coin toss, I had a sense that they weren't there emotionally. And that bothered me, because I looked at the other sideline, and then the team in green, they look like they're ready to play. And our boys, you know, they were ready to play, I'm sure, X and O's wise, but to the next level emotionally, I didn't see it. I couldn't see it in their eyes. And maybe they were there for a little while, you know. I looked out there in the first quarter one time, our defense was coming on the field, and I saw him walking on the field. I'm like, you know, it just didn't seem like this sense of urgency out there. It didn't seem like this "we got to have this game" thing was out there. And, you know, and I don't know. And maybe that's the personality of a lot of guys on that team. And maybe they were ready to play. But at the same time, though, a lot of teams have talent. Troy, as you know this, a lot of teams have talent. So what puts you over the edge? I think it's that going out there playing with a little emotion, playing a lot of heart. And our team is talented. But you got to go out there when you're playing against a team like that that's fighting for nothing. They're fighting for nothing. You got to match their intensity. And I don't think we had that. We didn't do that yesterday.
You know, going into the game yesterday, I was questioning if the Miami Dolphins were going to have that energy. You know, and I'm basing that off of the Buffalo Bills game, because they were just flat that game. And for me to have to sit there, and for other people as well, the question if the Miami Dolphins are going to be ready to play this football, and we're talking emotionally here, for that to be lacking, you know, that's a shame. We get the coin toss, or we get the ball first, and I was excited about that. I was like, you know, here's an opportunity to take the ball down the field, punch it in early on, set the tone for this football game, but it never happened. And it seemed like to me that the Miami Dolphins played most of this game, and I'm talking about when they had the ball on offense, they played most of this game around the logo in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing beyond that, and no playmakers showed up for the Miami Dolphins yesterday. I'm talking about on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, and that's just a shame in that situation that you don't have one guy step up and make a big play.
So when you look at it yesterday, I mean, what do you say? The Buffalo game, you know, to me, and I'm not saying it has to be, but to me, it didn't necessarily look flat against Buffalo last week. They got beat up. They got moved around. They were out physicaled, you know, to use a word that doesn't actually exist. You know, yesterday, they didn't get sacked, not once. The pass protection was pretty good. The Jets were trying a bunch of different things, it looked like, to get pressure on Ryan Tannehill. And they hit him a couple of times, and they pressured him, but they didn't sack him. you know, not once. The running game was there more than it had been against Buffalo. The defense didn't get a takeaway. They didn't make a game-changing play. They didn't get a sack. But it's not like the Jets are running up and down the field or throwing up and down the field. They sort of had their moments and they had their spots. So what was it yesterday? Is it as simple as they were just the flatter team?
I think so. I think it was.
It was like it, blah, it, blah. It was it not?
It was like a they went out to almost like it's a preseason game approach. And that's, you know, that's the thing about it. There was zero fire, no big hits, no big plays. Nobody came up big for this team yesterday. Like you talked about, Troy, you know, a big sack. Can we hit Geno hard one time and get everybody going? Nobody did anything to get this team going. And people say, you know, these are professional athletes. They shouldn't need anything like that. And, you know, and that's probably right. But somewhere along that game where you see everybody's flat, somebody's got to do something to change the momentum of that game. Somebody's got to step up and make a play. Somebody's got to get in somebody's, you know, behind and let them know, let's pick this up because this is not the way we want this thing to go. I mean, being up 7-0, I don't know if they got comfortable right there. They might have got, all right, we got a touchdown, we're up, you know. But the Jets came right back. Put 14 straight up on them, you know? So it's a situation right there where somebody's got to take charge of this team, and I don't see the person on that team that does that, Troy. I don't see that guy.
He wasn't there yesterday, Juice. He was not there yesterday. And, you know, I don't know if guys are looking around saying, waiting for someone else to make the play, but any situation, you could go through that entire game yesterday, not one play. We're waiting for that big hit on Geno Smith that you're talking about where he gets a little bit rattled and the defense start jumping up and down. I saw the players walking off and on the field as well. Just no excitement whatsoever. No playmakers showed up, and it cost them dearly.
It really did. And it was a frustrating, frustrating afternoon with so much on the line for the Miami Dolphins, unable to come up with the victory that would have, by the way, pushed them into the postseason. They got the help that they needed in Cincinnati early in the game. If Miami would have taken care of their business, the Dolphins wouldn't have even had to worry about the Chargers and the Chiefs, and there wouldn't be all the controversy surrounding that game, and you wouldn't have Steelers fans up in arms about the officiating out in San Diego late yesterday afternoon, because that game wouldn't have mattered as far as the playoff situation goes. The Dolphins would be getting ready to go to Cincinnati and to play the Bengals in their first playoff game since 2008. You talk about consistency, and the Dolphins obviously had a roller coaster year. I guess most 8-8 teams do. 3-0 start, and then some struggles. And then they won three in a row late in the season, but sort of unable to continue that success both times. You know, they sort of ran out of gas, for lack of a better term, after the three-game winning streak. This Dolphin organization, this franchise, has not had a four-game winning streak since 2008. That was the last time they were in the playoffs. And obviously, if you're a playoff team, generally, you're winning at least nine games. And it's hard to get to 9-10-plus wins if you're not winning more than three in a row at some point in the season.
Right.
And the Dolphins are unable to win more than three in a row in 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, and now 2013. That's a lot of seasons without putting together a streak of at least four consecutive wins.
It really is. You know, and what enters into that situation, too, is the fact that they were 4-4 at home. You know, and that's one thing that you cannot be in the NFL. If you're at home, you got to at least have six wins plus at home. That's your advantage. That's your crowd. That's your weather. Everything plays, you know, into your advantage being at home. And when you go 4-4 at home, you know, then it's really tough in the NFL because you want to try to go 500 on the road. But if you go 4-4 at home, obviously you're going to be a 500 team. And that's the deal right there. In order to get to 10 wins, you have to hold serve at home more often than not. And that was a big problem for the Dolphins this year.
It really was. Plenty more to discuss, not only on yesterday's 20-7 loss to the New York Jets, but the big picture for the Dolphins as well. Remind you, too, we'll bring you live and complete coverage of Joe Philbin's final press conference of the 2013 season. We expect him to be coming to the podium about a half hour from right now. You're listening to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive on 940 Wins, and you're watching live at Dolphins.com.
More team coverage in minutes on Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
Ready, break!
Back to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
Welcome back with former Dolphins O.J. McDuffie and Troy Stratford. I'm Jesse Agler. Jets 20, Dolphins 7. In the final two games of the year, when all was said and done, Miami needed just a single win in order to advance to the playoffs for the first time since 2008. They go 0-2 and score a total of 7 points in the two games. We talk a lot about this era of pro football. It is an offensive era. It is a high-flying, high-scoring, pass-heavy era. And the Dolphins score a total of just 7 points in the two games. And Ryan Tannehill, as far as passer rating goes, has his worst two games of the season. Last week in Buffalo, quarterback rating, passer rating of about 45. Yesterday against the Jets, 42.1. Lowest of the season. Yeah. That's not all on Ryan, obviously. Right. And last week getting sacked 7 times certainly doesn't help all of that. Yesterday losing Brian Hartline certainly doesn't help any of that. But it is part of the larger conversation about, you know, this Dolphin team having great opportunity, coming off 3 straight wins, feeling great about themselves. First win over New England in forever. And then they just sort of don't do much against Buffalo and the Jets.
Yeah, you know, and you look at Ryan, you know, yesterday, I thought he really did. I thought he had a solid game. You look at the 3 picks, I'm not going to put all those on him. I'll probably put maybe 1 pick on him. At the end of the game, when you're trying to make a play, things like that happen. You know, so those are situations where, you know, quarterback's trying to make something happen and you know, you get an interception. The one interception that D. Milliner had on Mike Wallace, I put that on Mike Wallace. First of all, he's slipping, he's falling down, he's fading away, you know, and D. Miller made a heck of a play. Ryan put it in a good spot right there. If you got a wide receiver that's working back to the ball, you know, that's a situation where you got a completion there. So you can only put so much on Ryan and having the bad game, whereas, you know, the rest of the guys, we definitely didn't step up and help him. Had a big drop by Rashard Matthews for him. You know, that would have continued to drive. That was on third down. He's probably still running down the sideline. So there are a lot of things where nobody stepped up to make a play. And I love Ryan's heart and his tenacity and the way he goes out there and plays the game. But somebody's got to help him out in a lot of those situations.
You know, for the Miami Dolphins to score 7 points in the last 2 games of the season, just unacceptable because, you know, coming into the season, we look back at the last year where the Miami Dolphins were averaging somewhere right around 17 points a game, and we said that has to improve if you want to win here in the National Football League. And we did a decent job throughout the year. It was nice when the Pittsburgh Steelers game came around. They had to score the most points at that point in the season to win the game, and they pulled that off. But for the offense to just go flat and not be able to get into the end zone, but that one time against the Jets early on yesterday, just unacceptable when it comes to the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge point of emphasis, and we talked about, you know, some of the reasons why they haven't scored enough points. But you're right. From a bigger picture standpoint, the scoring itself is a major problem. And I think the Dolphins finished 26th in scoring in the National Football League. And when you consider that 20 teams are sitting out right now, I mean, there you go. It's 12 in and 20 out, and you're 26th. So you're not even halfway, you know, to where the playoff teams would be. 19.8 points per game. I mean, it's less than 3 touchdowns a game.
Right.
And again, I'm not suggesting you need to be able to put up 40 every week, but the offensive output has to be more consistent. And under 20 points per game, adding Mike Wallace, year 2 for Ryan Tannehill, all those things. You know, it's just, I think you used the right word, Troy. It's just not acceptable. You got to be able to score more than 19.8 points.
Jess, you look at the whole big picture here, you know, they're ranked in the 20s in way too many categories. You know, if you want to be successful in this league, you got to get in the teens or inside the 10, you know, in a lot of these categories in order to be successful. You know, when you're looking at our passing yards per game, we're 20th. Rushing yards per game, 26th. You know, opponents' passing yards, we're 16th, but our opponents' rushing is 25th or 24th. You know, those are recipes for a losing or mediocre season, and that's what we had at times, you know. And so for these guys, you know, to get to that next level, they have to step it up on certain things, and scoring is a huge emphasis. You bring in a guy like Mike Wallace, like you said, Jesse, he is a home run hitter. We talked about, you know, the fact that we missed a lot of opportunities with Mike. We really missed a lot of opportunities with Mike. And I wish they would have taken more opportunities to Hartline down the field. I wish they would have threw the Marlon Moore down the field a little bit yesterday. At least do something a little bit different, because you got some guys that really are go-getters out there, you know. So I think you should reward the go-getters a little bit more. But as a team, as a whole, they couldn't put it together the whole year. They couldn't put it together every single week. When we need to have big plays, it was hard to find a guy who was going to step up and make it for us.
Listen, when you finish 8-8, you're definitely going to have a lot of areas where you could point to and say they just didn't get it done. You know, coming into the season, I don't think any one of us had a question mark about the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
But yet, all season long, teams were able to run on us, and I really don't know the answer to why that is. I don't know if it was the guys up front, if it was the play at the middle linebacker situation, but that was unacceptable as well for teams to be able to, you know, just be physical against us and run the ball. Like yesterday, the Jets, they sat there. I don't think Geno Smith was under center like 1 or 2 plays. He sat there in shotgun, and they ran a basic up the middle, off right behind the guard. They ran that play all day long, and the Miami Dolphins really, for the most part, cannot stop that, and that's also unacceptable.
Yeah, we talked a lot about offense, but certainly the defense requires its own conversation with yesterday's game in particular. And again, 20 points is not the end of the world, you know, that they end up allowing. But Geno Smith comes in, and to be fair to him, playing much better the last 3 weeks than when we saw him on December 1st. Playing much, much better. Remember, he got benched at halftime against the Dolphins, and he just looked terrible. He wasn't close on anything. And so coming into the game yesterday, whether it was on the Finsiders show or whether it was on the pregame show, we said, you got to make Geno Smith uncomfortable. You can't let him be comfortable. You got to hit him. You got to knock him around. You got to do whatever it is to make him uncomfortable. Dolphins go 60 minutes without a sack yesterday, and at no point did he look like a rookie quarterback who was rattled. You know, by any stretch, he looked completely comfortable back there much of the day, and that's a failure on the defensive side.
Not only did we not sack him, we only hit him twice, and that's the AFC mix even worse. You know, when you only hit the quarterback twice, at least get in his face, harass him a little bit. He sat back there and patted the rock, you know, time in, time out. And I was, you know, I'm watching, are we getting a double team here, or is somebody getting chipped here? A lot of one-on-ones, too, on that side, Troy, where our defensive line has some one-on-ones. We even opened up some gaps. So they have pretty bad gap discipline at times. You know, it's just one of those games where, you know, it comes back to sense of urgency. Nobody took advantage of the situation. When Cam Wake and OV have a one-on-one situation, I expect one of them to win every single time.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Still waiting to hear from Joe Philbin, his end-of-season press conference, about 10, 15 minutes away from now. We'll carry that for you live and in its entirety. Try and get to some of your questions as well. Remember, text messages at 347-347 and phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS. You're listening to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive on 940 WINS, and you're watching live on Dolphins.com.
More team coverage in minutes on Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
Ready, break! Hot, hot!
Now, back to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
If you need cash for home repairs, college, or other unexpected bills, flexible home equity loans and lines from Popular Community Bank could be the answer. Call 1-888-317-9062 to apply. Back with O.J. McDuffie and Troy Stratford, it is Dolphins Monday Opening Drive following Miami's 20-7 season-ending loss to the Jets yesterday afternoon at Sun Life Stadium. Joe Philbin's final press conference of the 2013 season coming up about 5-10 minutes from now. We'll carry that for you in its entirety. We'll also try to get to some of your questions. You can text us at 347-347 and call us at 1-855-GO-FINS. Time to recap Sunday's game changer presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Call 1-800-XFINITY today for a great offer. I'm going with Geno Smith, the quarterback of the New York Jets. We spent some time a few minutes ago talking about how comfortable he looked, ran in a touchdown right before halftime that really seemed to kind of change the tone and the feel of the game.
Geno Smith, he came to play yesterday. He was back home playing in front of family. You could tell that he was on a different level. But what you notice about Geno Smith, and you got to give the coaching staff a lot of credit, Geno Smith, the game slowed down for him. Early on in the season, yes, he's a rookie quarterback. He's going to make mistakes, and we saw plenty of mistakes. But as the season went along, the game slowed down for him. And yesterday, he didn't look like the wide-eyed rookie. I'm not sitting here saying that he just set the world on fire, but you could tell that he was more in control of what he was doing. He didn't panic, and he ran a pretty good offensive game plan for the New York Jets yesterday.
I think that's the best word you said. He's in control. He really was. He looked very, very comfortable out there. And then part of that's our fault. Where we made him look comfortable, you know, by not putting any pressure on him. But also, you got to give them credit for, you know, coming up with a game plan that was nice for Geno Smith. I mean, he was 17 for 27 for 190 yards. Like you said, didn't light the world up. But he also ran it 10 times for 44 yards. And a lot of his runs were big runs, you know, a first down, a touchdown, you know, just getting half of what you need before, you know, getting a first down, things like that. So I thought he was very active on that offensive side of the ball because nobody else really lit it up on that offense. And Geno was a catalyst for everything they did with the run game. He's part of that. He made some big throws, you know, to get some first downs. So, Geno, he looks like the guy. You know, when you look at, you read some of the press and stuff from last week, they talked about the fact that they didn't give Geno much of a chance because of some of the situations they put him in, personnel packages, things like that. They simplified things for him now, and he was able to go out there and run an offense effectively.
No doubt about all of that. Let's flip it back to the offense. We spent some time talking about scoring last segment and how Miami ends the season at 19.8 points per game, 26th out of 32 teams in the National Football League. Our buddy Shea on Twitter checks in, and I double-checked his math during the break. The 12 playoff teams this year averaging 26.9 points per game. It's simple, but it's clear. That's a big problem. Now, why aren't the Dolphins scoring more points? That's the harder question. And what can be done to score more points? Those are the kinds of things they're going to have to figure out. It's a little bit easy for us to just sit here and say, hey, 19.8 is not enough. So let's talk about some of the things that have led to their scoring issues this year. And I think the deep ball is where most fans would want to begin, OJ. It was a frustrating season. Had to be 8, 9, 10 times over the course of the year that Mike Wallace was well beyond, you know, whatever defender was assigned to him, and Ryan Tannehill could not hit him in stride. I got a wide receiver here. I got a running back here. So the QB is not going to be represented in this conversation, but I think it's one of those things that if you went back and you looked at each and every one of those deep pass attempts, you know, at times there's going to be blame on Ryan. At times there might be blame on Mike Wallace. At times there are going to be deep balls that never happened because Ryan didn't have the time. So the offensive line, the backs, the tight ends, they got to factor into that all as well. But a huge disappointment this year.
Huge, huge disappointment. When we got Mike Wallace and we sat here and we talked about, you know, we got to go after Mike. We all wanted Mike Wallace, and I still want Mike Wallace. And I was right there with it. You know, I said, this is a guy that we need to stretch the field. Everybody's talking about a guy that's going to, you know, take the top off. You know, and I thought the hard line and guys like that would be the beneficiaries of such, you know, having such an acquisition of a guy like Mike Wallace. And, you know, to see the ball come up short, to see it go long, to see it be in a good position and somebody, and we still not make the play over and over and over again, it was frustrating. And we thought at the beginning, you know, it's just beginning. They'll get their time and they'll get it together. And it just never seemed to happen. And that's the thing about it. That's why, you know, Troy mentioned one time to me, like, Troy Stafford, that's hard to go 80 yards. So you need those 50-yard touchdowns. You need those 70-yard touchdowns every once in a while. And you look at all these other teams in the league, they get some of those touchdowns. And that's why the top 12 teams are scoring averages up so high. They get a big play here and there. It's hard for me to look back and see a long touchdown for us. We had to grind a lot of them out. And that's an issue in the NFL when you can't get some easy scores as well.
One of the big problems for the Dolphins offensively this year. Visit dolphins.com/Norwegian sweeps for your chance to win a cruise from Norwegian Cruise Line on Miami's ultimate ship, Norwegian Getaway. We'll take a break when we come back. We'll be closing in on Joe Philbin's final press conference of the 2013 season. We will carry that for you live. You're listening to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive, and you're watching on Dolphins.com.
Hot, hot.
Now, back to Dolphins Monday Opening Drive.
Welcome back to the show. Jets 20, Dolphins 7 yesterday afternoon. That's how the 2013 season ends for the Miami Dolphins with former Dolphin running back Troy Stafford and wide receiver O.J. McDuffie. I'm Jesse Agler. Miami 8-8. A one-game improvement over last year in Joe Philbin and Ryan Tannehill's first year, but certainly short of expectations, particularly when you consider they were 8-6 coming off a win over the New England Patriots and looking at two games. And they only needed one when it all, you know, kind of worked itself out to get into the playoffs. Tough, tough, tough way to end the season yesterday for the Miami Dolphins. And in just a moment or two, we expect Joe Philbin next door in the interview room for his season-ending press conference. The Dolphins head coach will take questions from the media, and it's not going to be like your usual Monday day after press conference. I'm sure there will be some questions about what took place yesterday against the Jets, but also, Troy, a lot of big picture stuff because that's the point of the season we're at.
And I'm not sure Coach has all the answers right here at this moment. A lot of evaluation still needs to go and take place for this Miami Dolphin team, the coaching staff, everything. But yes, big picture questions need to be asked. You know, what direction? How much have you seen the team improving? What are the number one, two, and three things that you need to fix on this football team? So there are going to be a lot of broad questions. I don't know if they're going to get any specific answer to these questions, but we'll find out.
All right. We'll check in now next door in the interview room here at the Doctors Hospital Training Facility. The head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Joe Philbin, stepping to the podium for his final press conference of the 2013 season.
After watching the game tape, I thought as I said yesterday, I thought the Jets deserved to win the game. They played better than we did. And, you know, we're just beginning the process of evaluating the 2013 season. Today I'm spending all day and probably into tomorrow meeting with the players and, you know, getting their feedback. And certainly there's areas we need to improve, starting with me. 8-8's not where this franchise wants to be, needs to be, and should be. So.
Joe, you had said yesterday that you guys just didn't make the plays. Why didn't you make the plays? I mean,
Again, Chris, if I, you know, if we had the answer, we would have made the plays during the course of the game. Again, I think in football, there's 22 guys on the field every single play, and the opponent is you're always playing good opposition. And again, to their credit, they played better and deserved to win.
When a team plays so poorly in such crucial games, the last two games of the season, do you feel like something needs to be changed? Something needs to be done in the organization?
Well, every year you go through a process of evaluation, and you look at, you certainly will look at those two games, but you'll look at, as I said to the team just in the meeting, I think we probably had, give or take, 2,500 snaps on film from the season, offense, defense, special teams, and we certainly have to evaluate all those snaps, what we did as coaches, how the players executed as players, and we certainly need to make changes, adjustments, tweaks, additions, deletions. That's part of the whole process. So I'm confident there will be, but I'm not at right now. There's none to be addressed right now, but certainly we're going to be looking at everything.
You don't put more weight on what happened at the end when so much was on the line?
Again, not necessarily. I'll look at the whole body of work.
Joe, in December, how would you describe how you guys played?
In December?
Yeah.
3-2. So, you know, we played some games, we played well, and others we didn't play as well. We wanted to finish better. Certainly, you want to finish. You want to win every single game you play, and you prepare to win every single one of them, whether it's in September, October, November, December. And so, you know, that's what you do. That's how you prepare the team every single week.
What did the team show you with the? I mean, you had quality wins, hurtful losses. What do you take from your team in the month?
We're an 8-8. You know, we're an 8-8 football team. That's an average record. That's 500. And starts the performance of the team. As I said yesterday, starts with me. Offense, defense, special teams. So, the expectations here are high. I understand that.
Why should Dolphin fans trust that you guys can get the job done and make this a playoff team when you were in position and the final two games of the season it was sort of a botched effort? Why can you get it right?
Well, I have a lot of faith and confidence in myself and the staff and in our players, and that we can make the corrections necessary to lead this team to play up to its potential and consistently compete for championships. That's what I said the day I got here. I stand by what I said the day I got here, and I'm confident that I can do that.
Joe, there's a strong sentiment in the locker room that changes need to be made with the offensive coordinator. I know that you have a long-standing relationship with Mike Sherman, but will he be back in 2014?
Yeah, I've just begun. I haven't even gotten to any discussions with any coaches. I'm going to discuss with every single player. I'm going to talk to every single player, every single coach, we'll decide and determine 2014 at a later point in time.
Coach, 3rd and 21, Ryan takes off down the middle and runs. Do you expect him not to slide on that play, or do you expect him to slide? What's your mindset on?
Well, you want your quarterback to protect himself, especially when he's in the middle of the field. I believe he was in between the hashes, if I'm not mistaken. So you want him to protect himself, and it was close. It was very close, and, you know.
You think he thought he had the first down?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Joe, how far away do you think this organization is from where you want to be?
Well, it was week 17, and we had an opportunity to get into the playoffs. Had we played better and won the football game, and then when you get into the playoffs, you have an opportunity to compete for a championship. So we're not there yet, we're close, but we're not there.
Joe,
so we've got a ways to go.
So getting back to Ryan, how do you view his progress this season? You look at the body of work. He had the big game against New England, but the last 2 weeks struggling a little bit. Overall, what do you see when he stands?
Yeah, I think there's development, but again, it's the beginning of the evaluation process. Again, I'm throwing out a number. How many throws did he have? 550, 60? You know, there's a lot of throws on tape to evaluate. Obviously, we look at it week to week to week to week, but now in the off season, there's more time to evaluate. Okay, let's cut up all the third down plays. Let's cut up all the red zone plays and really sit down and study them and evaluate. So that's part of the process that we will undertake.
I'm sorry. I know you're evaluating the season just begun, but when you just take a step back, the four-game winning streak, the Martin Incognito situation, team
the
came
four
back.
Game, the four-game what?
Well, the early winning streak.
Three games. I wish it was four.
The winning streak, the Martin Incognito situation, team seemed to turn things around, and then the last two games. Just how would you take a step and just describe the whole season?
I hate to be redundant. It was average. It was eight and eight. It was an average season. When you coach and when you play this game, you know, you go into every single game with the expectation you're going to win. And you prepare a plan, regardless of who you're playing, to the best of your ability to prepare your team to win a game. You don't go in to go 8-8. You don't go in to go 12-4 or 4-12. It was average. It was average.
How would you say Mike Sherman did this year? And the team averaged just under 20 points a game. There were 7 points in the last two games. How would you evaluate how he did as a coordinator this year?
I have a lot of confidence in our staff, our offensive staff, of Mike Sherman. He's an excellent football coach, and that's what I think.
Joe, as you go through the decision-making process, deciding on, you know, Mike Sherman, Kevin Coyle, whoever, personnel.
Sure.
What is the process and when will you be done? Will you consult with Jeff Ireland on player matters? Will you consult with Steve Ross on coaching staff matters? And when will the process be done?
Yeah, we'll get input from everybody. We'll talk to everybody. We'll evaluate everybody. We evaluate all the coaches. I mean, constant communication with Steve. I visited with him after the game. There'll be an appropriate time and place to meet with him, and then we'll go from there.
Can I take a few more questions?
Joe, you just said that you considered the team close, and yet in the final stat pack that we were just handed, the offense is ranked 27th in the NFL, defense 21st in the NFL. Specifically, what makes you say you're close given some of these numbers?
Well, again, the numbers, the game's not played on the stat sheet, and so my feeling is that week 17, we had a game that had we won, which we didn't win, we would have been in the playoffs. So that's where I'm getting the barometer that we're not that far away. We're close. Now, I acknowledge the fact that on that paper, there's a lot of room for improvement. A lot of room for improvement.
Joe, again, I know there's a lot of evaluation to go on, but how much a priority will be in the coming months to rebuild the offensive line?
We'll look at every single position on the football team. We'll have to do a thorough evaluation of the personnel, and we'll take a look at everything.
Two more. Dan Armando.
You talk to Mr. Ross pretty much every week, and obviously you talked to him last night. Mm-hmm. Have you been given assurances at any point this season that next year is a go for you personally?
I haven't talked to him. I'm proceeding and working and beginning my evaluation of the 2013 season, and I'm going to work every single day.
Right, but has he assured
you? We haven't even talked about any of that stuff.
Anything else? One more.
And as far as Coach Sherman, you and he are close, I would say, pretty close. You've known each other for a long time. If at some point you were asked to make sure that he's not the offensive coordinator the next year, could you do that?
I'm beginning the evaluation of the 2013 season, and we haven't made any decisions on who's coming back and who isn't. And we'll have all those discussions at the appropriate time.
No, okay. But the question is, if you have to do it, could you? Are you capable?
That's my answer.
Okay, guys, we'll open up the locker room in a minute.
All right, welcome back inside the Finsider studio next door to the interview room. That was Joe Philbin's final press conference of the 2013 seasons. Not surprisingly, you know, a lot of questions about the big picture and about the future and personnel and coaching staff and all of that. And Joe Philbin basically electing to sidestep all of that stuff for the moment, says he's just going to get into his evaluations now and that those conversations have not yet taken place. Going to look back at the 2013 season and make changes after that. But I don't think there's any doubt listening to Joe Philbin that he realizes changes have to be made. Now, what those changes are, how drastic they are, obviously we'll have to wait and see. But when asked to evaluate his season multiple times, the head coach just said, we were average, and that's what the record is. 8-8 is literally 500. You won as many as you lost, and that's about as average as it gets in the National Football League.
Yeah, you got it right there. 8-8, and he is right. The team was average. You know, but there's a difference between certain 8 and 8s. Like the Miami Dolphins, we're disappointed because 2 weeks ago we're sitting here talking about going to the playoffs. We control our own destiny. You know, the New York Jets, they're 8 and 8. They're ecstatic right now. They're going into the offseason saying that we've gotten better down the stretch. We won the last game. We knocked the Dolphins out of the playoffs. Our coach is coming back. So 8 and 8 is, you know, good for some and bad for others. When it comes to us, I really believe the way the roller coaster season that we've had, this 8 and 8 is a sour 8 and 8 because we were sitting there 8 and 6 and needing one victory to get in there, and we didn't get that victory.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Troy. You look at the beginning of December, starting with the Jet game on December 1st, where we get that win, 23-3 win, and you start seeing this team starting to play better, you know, and then they win another game and another game. So that everybody even talked about this being the team you do not want to see. This Dolphins team is the team you do not want to see right now because they're a hot team. And then they go up to Buffalo and lose 19-0, and they lose yesterday 20-7. You know, it is a team that doesn't have anything to build off of. What do we have to build on off the last two games going into, you know, next season? What did we take from the last two games and say, okay, we got this solidified, you know, now we're ready to move on and fix this? This team has a lot of questions now because of the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of things that didn't go well for this team as an offense, as a defense, on special teams. They've got a lot of questions that have to be answered. So, yeah, you're talking about 8 and 8s, that Buffalo team, and we talked about it ad nauseum last week. Somebody even said, this is a different Jets team than we've seen, the Jets. This is a different Jets team than we've seen, than we saw the first time. They said, what do you mean? They got different guys? No, not different personnel, but the way they're playing. We're playing like a much better team. And our team didn't have that same feeling come out of the last two games.
And, you know, here in the National Football League, you got to find a way to win games because, I mean, we enjoy every weekend in the National Football League because I don't care what your record says. You could win or lose a game, truly win or lose a game. And the Miami Dolphins, Jesse pointed out that all of the home games outside of yesterday, there was no margin of victory or defeat greater than 4.
Right.
So every single week you're in football games, you just got to find a way to win them. And that's a fine line between keeping jobs, losing jobs, you know, going to the playoffs, going home. Big difference.
No doubt about it. Meanwhile, unfortunately, the conversation now turns to free agency, the draft, and really the entire NFL offseason. Thanks to the regular season wrapping up and the playoff spots being given away, we know the official draft order for the teams who are not in the postseason. And 6 teams went 8 and 8 this year in the National Football League. Of those 6 teams, the Dolphins will pick 6th. 19th overall will be the Dolphins' selection. The Jets are 18. And in front of them, Dallas, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Chicago. Houston, of course, has the number 1 overall pick. Washington has number 2. That pick will go away because of the RG3 trade a couple of drafts ago. But the Dolphins at 8 and 8 will pick 19th in the first round of the 2014 draft. You say, well, why are they picking behind the Jets if the Jets finished in front of them? Remember, draft order ties are broken by strength of schedule. Divisional tiebreakers are done by division record. That's why the Jets are ahead of the Dolphins in the standings, but have a better draft selection. Almost seems
do they
fitting.
Get some for Revis as well?
Even Jets? That goes that way.
Do the Jets get some for Revis?
Yeah, they'll get the extra pick from Tampa Bay, which will be number 7. Mm. So they'll have a top 10 pick on top of that. But the Jets will be 18, the Dolphins will be 19, and Arizona, the 10-6 team that did not make it into the postseason, will be 20th, and then, of course, 21 through 32 will be the playoff team's order, still to be determined. That's where all of that goes. We heard from Joe Philbin a few minutes ago, some big picture, some little picture. He obviously didn't give too much information about the changes that are coming, though he did make it very clear the changes needed to be made. One thing in particular he said that I enjoyed was, we have to make changes, adjustments, tweaks, additions, deletions, all part of the process. And obviously, to a certain extent, that's common sense in the National Football League because no team is the same from 1 year to the other. There are always going to be new players. There are always going to be players let go. And I guess the question for Joe Philbin and Jeff Ireland and this entire player personnel department moving forward and this coaching staff is, where do the changes get made? Some of them are obvious. Some of them are going to end up being surprises. It happens that way every year. Well, whether it's a veteran free agent pickup, whether it's an offseason waiver claim, if those are even a possibility. I mean, into the draft and into free agency, a lot of potential changes coming.
Yeah, there will be. There'll be a lot of changes. And, you know, when you go 8-8, there's obviously there has to be some changes. That's not a sign of much progress. It's kind of a team that's kind of middle of the pack, as Coach alluded to. Even the good teams you talk about, Jesse, they're going to lose guys. You know, when you play well and you have a great record, you lose people. You lose coaches. You lose coordinators. A lot of times those guys get head job opportunities. You lose players to free agency. So every time there's change. So, you know, even with the Dolphins, there's going to be a lot of change. And I think more importantly is we got to figure out on this team, who's going to be a contributor? Who we think can be contributors next year? We got to get our draft class, you know, going next year. This year's draft class, kind of like our like last year's draft class, you know, had a pretty good season for us this year, and especially Ryan Tannehill. So they've got a lot of things they got to evaluate. We got a lot of guys that are on 1 year deals this year, you know, that we're trying to figure out if we're going to re-sign or whatever. We got guys that are. There's a lot to come, and it probably. And Coach started. He said it starts with evaluating himself. You know, probably work with the coaches. He's going to talk to the players the next couple of days. You know, there's a lot of things that they have to go over right now to figure out what's going to be the Miami Dolphins makeup in 2014, and it has to happen pretty fast, Troy, because you know free agency's right around the corner. You know, then you got the draft right around the corner. You got the off-season workout right around the corner. There's a lot of work to be done in the next couple weeks, next couple months, and next month that you know the Dolphins have to go over, and it starts with Coach Joe Philbin, you know, getting it done.
You know, I think number one, our draft class from this year certainly needs to be on the field come next year. But yeah. You look at certain situations, you know, OV was having a pretty good year. He led the team in sacks. And then you have, you know, Jordan right sitting right behind him. And then when it comes to Jamar Taylor and Will Davis, you know, we got pretty good play from our cornerbacks this year. So is that added depth or is these guys going to step up and become an impact, like more of an impact on a daily basis when it happens? But change happens weekly in the National Football League. So when Coach talks about additions, deletions, and changes and all tweets of that, absolutely, that's going to take place.
Yeah, I guess the real question is how big will those changes be and when and where will they come? Could be as soon as later today. With some things could be this week, could be a couple of weeks from now. The evaluation process is beginning immediately, though. I don't think there's any doubt about that after listening to Joe Philbin. We spent a good amount of time this past hour talking about the things that didn't go right for the Dolphins this year, big picture, little picture, and a lot of focus on scoring, and rightfully so. Dolphins finish officially 27th in the league in scoring per the stat pack that the media received in that press conference. NFL.com has not yet updated that. But the playoff teams, we told you, average 26.9 points per game. The Dolphins under 20 points per game. It's a touchdown plus difference. And, you know, another touchdown a game obviously makes a big, big, big difference. And that's what the Dolphins have to work on next year. We discussed deep passing and what didn't go right there. Another, I think, top of the list sort of question on offense, Troy, going into this offseason and into next season, it's got to be short yardage. And it's not a sexy or fun thing to talk about the way the deep throws are. But 3rd-and-1 this year, 4th-and-1 this year, 4th-and-inches, whatever it was, just a disaster at times for Miami. And we saw it yesterday with that Charles Clay carry on 4th-and-1. They didn't even come close. And too many times this year, the Dolphins unable to pick up, you know, that 2-3 feet, whatever it might be, that they need in a big spot. And it's, I'm sure, a combination offensive line, running backs, but whatever it is, they have to be better at that next season.
You could certainly bet that there will be a player on this football team next year built to get that yard without question.
All right. We'll continue that conversation at another time. Dolphins star wide receiver Mike Wallace going to join us live in studio. A little treat here at the end of Dolphins Monday opening drive. Mike, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. Let's go big picture here, man. Let's talk about your first season in a Dolphin uniform. Obviously, it was a change year for you. It was a transition year for you. How do you feel your first year in Miami went?
It was okay. I feel like, you know, my expectations of myself is always higher, but we did okay. I was average, just like everybody else for the most part. Our season, our record tells all of that.
You know, first time, you know, first season, sometimes it's like that, you know, trying to connect with a new quarterback. We saw Ryan and you guys, you know, just a little bit off, it seems like, a little bit short, a little bit long at times. Mm-hmm. What do you think about in the offseason you guys have to do to make that more of a connection between you two?
Just work together, just work out. I think we'll get on the same page. It's kind of hard to see where everybody's coming from when you jump right into it. So now we have time to go back, evaluate. Just watch and learn from the things we've done this year and just build off it. I think if we work out together, we'll be fine.
You know, Mike, we've been sitting here talking about ad nauseum as well, just the deep passes, not connecting on them. Mm-hmm. And we really believe if we just hit on half of the ones that we missed, and I see your eyes light up right there, we're talking about potentially 2, 3, 4 more victories here for the Miami Dolphins. Yep. Such a momentum changer. Got to be frustrating, yes?
Oh, definitely, especially when you know we can hit them. I've done this plenty of times on my own. I know Ryan's done it on his own. We just have to hit it together right now. When you just go back and look at how many touchdowns, like you said, it's got to be 12, 13, 14 touchdowns we left out there. Mm-hmm. Easily, more than that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very manageable plays that we can hit. It's easy, not easy. It's a lot easier said than done. But it's plays that is, you know, easily in our capability of hitting. So we got to be able to go out there and make those plays. And that's 2 touchdowns a game, possibly. You know, that's wins. You know, for the most part, all our games can out of 3, 5, 7 points. Mm-hmm. You know, we hit 2 more touchdowns a game. That's wins. That's 12 wins, maybe.
You're hearing from Mike Wallace what we've been saying and what a lot of fans have been saying, certainly in awareness of the situation. So what's the offseason look like for you? It obviously comes suddenly and I don't want to say unexpectedly, but you didn't think this was going to be the position you were going to be in on December 30th. So what's next?
It's looking long. The offseason is definitely looking long. We don't have another meeting until April 21st, I think. Mm. So that's a long time to think about 2 games that you know how it fizzled down on us. And when we had it in our hands and we just didn't make it happen, that's a long time, 4.5 months to think about. And you know, not enough time to let it burn and make sure you don't feel this again. I'm not used to feeling like this, and definitely not trying to get used to feeling like this.
Certainly understandable. Mike Wallace is here. If you've been listening on 940 Wins, the Sports Animal, we appreciate you hanging with us. We're going to have to cut you off now because of programming requirements, but you can hear this interview with Mike on the Finsider Show this afternoon coming up at 5 o'clock if you're watching on Dolphins.com. We're going to continue with Mike, so thanks to the radio audience, and thanks to Mike for coming in and hanging out for a couple of minutes. Do you have a list in your head of like, hey, this is what, you know, I need to do, this is what this team needs to do, or is it still a little bit early for that kind of thing?
Kind of early, but just off the top of my head, I know, you know, I get open pretty deep often, but I feel like I need to come back and jump over a couple guys for sure. First and foremost, that's the main thing I see with myself. And if I take care of that, I feel like, you know, I've improved every game as far as, you know, getting – connection with Ryan, running routes. I think that's the main thing. If I could pinpoint one thing for myself, mm-hmm. is to come back and jump over a couple guys when the ball comes short.
Mike, let's talk about the group as a whole. I thought the group as a wide receiver group was really solid. You know, you lose B. Gibb early, but you and Hartline, and I love the way Rashard came in, and you can put Clay in the group with you guys. How do you assess your group as a whole? I thought it was one of the more talented groups in the NFL.
Oh, definitely. I think we have a deep group, especially when you consider, like you said, Gibb got hurt, Ben's got hurt in training camp. We have a lot of guys, and everybody brings something different to the table. So it's not just a deep group. It's a versatile group. I think we all have a little different weapon that we could bring. And together, collectively, for the whole offseason, I think it'll be good for us. You know, we came in March, April.
Right.
That's kind of like the middle of the offseason. But now that we have all this time, we have time to go back and evaluate each other and know, you know, how our chemistry needs to be and how we can work together and be better. And I think we'll come back so much stronger next year. It's easy to say it right now in December when we're 1 day removed from the season. But I think just together – with our abilities, if we stay focused, we could do a lot of great things.
Yeah, and I know a lot of times, you know, you want to take some time off when the season's over. You know, how eager are you to get back out there and get back to work, though?
You know how I go,
yeah.
Man. When you, especially after a loss like that, when you know you should have won a football game, you in position to make it to the playoffs, and you just lost it on your own. I'm ready to go right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, from a body standpoint, you have to let yourself rest just a little bit. But I'm ready to get back to work. I know, like I said, I fell so short of my goals for myself from a personal standpoint that I need to get back to work and get better.
Short of your goals, but you did have a career high of 73 receptions this year, so that's a positive there.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to me that you brought up your play and – attacking the ball more, being more, you know, of a defensive guy when the ball is underthrown. How do you believe that you can actually work on that and improve on that?
Just knowing
that's
that,
a tough one.
Just knowing that the ball, you know, judging it a little faster from a standpoint of being greedy, I always want to still try to score the football. Sometimes I need to know that, you know, this is not about to be a touchdown, that it's just going to be a big play for my team, a first down, maybe even a pass interference. I just got to stop trying to want to score so much and just keep running and stay going. You know, that's my main thing. I always want to make everything a touchdown instead of knowing that the ball is a little short sometimes, that I have to attack it and get the first down before a touchdown sometimes. Me, I want to
get the house. Run.
That's my main thing. That's why I fall short at that, knowing that everything can't be a touchdown and knowing that I just got to make the first down sometimes, and those things that add up and, you know, be touchdown.
Talk to us a little bit about Charles Clay. I mean, he just burst onto the scene this year. Big season from him, and he certainly is a playmaker on this team. Just talk about what he brings to the offense and just his growth throughout the year.
Versatility. The first thing I heard about Charles when I first got here is how elusive he was, but they say he wasn't consistent. But I didn't see that the whole time I was here. You know, I wasn't here the first couple years with him, but from what I've seen, he's been consistent the whole year, and he's gradually gotten better. He's a mismatch, you know, for anybody out there. Safety, you know, they too small, and linebacker's too slow. He's out there, but he moves like us, and he can put his hand in the dirt. He can get at fullback. Mm-hmm. He's a Swiss Army knife, man. He's one of those guys who you could put back there and play anything. He's just a good football player. He has good instincts, and, you know, I just seen his confidence grow more and more every week, you know, running over one guy 1 week, then next week two guys, then the next week three guys, you know. So the more he make plays, the more his confidence goes up, and I hope he can just build off of that and just not take a step backwards, and we can continue to go forward, and, you know, the sky's the limit for him.
Really nice and honest look back at the 2013 season with Mike Wallace. Appreciate you coming in today and all the times you stopped by this season. It's fun watching you in Aqua and Orange this year, and look forward to better things, bigger things next year, too.
Me too.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Mike. We'll take a break, come back more on this Dolphins Monday. You're watching the Finsiders on Fox Sports Florida, and you're listening on Dolphins.com and the Finsiders Radio Network.